1968 was a tumultuous year with riots, the Vietnam War, and the King and Kennedy assassinations. In Michigan, the success of the World Series champion Detroit Tigers helped people get through that difficult time. Tim Wendel chronicles the relationship between the news of the world and the baseball heroes of that year in Summer of 68, the season that changed baseball and America forever. He spoke with current state Scott Pohl.
We kind of separate things in the different categories. It's like we almost get uneasy if things are not in a category. And so we've got politics over there and sports over there and culture and music, etc. And what guys like, say, Mickey Lolich, you know, ex-Tiger great, another one, Willie Horton, Gates Brown, started to emphasize with me was they said, you know, things weren't that separate then. Ball players were much more a part of the community. I mean, the money wasn't as big. And as probably Gates Brown pointed out the best, he said, 1968 was so tumultuous, it was so horrific in many ways that you were never, in a sense, safe from it. Something was going to get you. And it may have been, you know, the King assassination, the Kennedy assassination. Something was going to break your heart.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kennedy has been shot. They think Kennedy has been shot. It appeared to be gunshot. Seems like Robert Kennedy has been shot.
The ball players were no different than the rest of us, and they were struggling to kind of carry on. And in a sense, hearing their stories, like Willie Horton going down to, you know, single-handedly trying to stop the riots in Detroit, Mickey Lolich being part of a National Guard unit that's called out to patrol downtown Detroit when the riots really pick up, it started to underscore to me that they were a part of this too. And I think a lot of their reactions and the way they coped were very human, and in many ways resonate today, and I think lessons can be learned from that.
For the people of Detroit and Michigan, the baseball season offered an oasis from all that, including the city's riots in 1967.
Very much so, and I don't think, Scott, any team was under as much pressure as the 68 season began than the Detroit Tigers. I mean, the city of Detroit had suffered the worst riots, arguably, since the Civil War the season before.
4 days of rioting, looting, and arson rocked the city of Detroit in the worst outbreak of urban racial violence this year. Entire blocks of homes become infernos. At least 36 are killed, more than 2,000 injured, and damage topped the half-billion mark.
City officials, police officials, had pretty much told the team, which had come up one game short of winning the pennant in 1967, you know, it'd be great if you guys finally won. Not only would it be fun to have you win, but it might save the city, too. So you talk about some very, high-pressure stakes. And I think in a lot of ways they rose to the occasion. This was a team that had a great many Michigan-born players. They knew what was at stake in terms of, you know, what it could mean to the city and such if they won. And they, as I said, rose to the occasion. One of the things I loved about this team is I think it's 23 or 24 times they rallied in the seventh inning or later to win a ball game.
Swing, there's a long belt in the center field. Robinson going back, way back. He can't get this one. It's passed into the fence. Here comes Stanley. He scores. Rounding third is Freehand. He scores. Willie Horton rounding third, and he holds up as a throw comes into Fernandez. It's a long triple for Willie, and the Tigers have the lead. 6-5, favor Detroit.
Some of the old police officials I spoke with pointed out that in 67, in Detroit, if you saw a number of people gathered on a street corner or something, that was probably trouble. In 1968, they soon learned that if you saw a bunch of people gathering, they might just be listening to the radio and Ernie Harwell calling the action. Because the Tigers, even though they're behind, hey, they came back the night before, they might just do it again. And I think in that way, they really helped hold a city, in a sense, together. And one of the things that I really loved about Summer of 68 as I got into the research of it was I kept thinking something held us together that year. That was one of the worst years in our nation's history. And the more and more research I did and the more interviews I did with guys like the old Tigers, I came to the conclusion that, in a sense, sports helped hold us together.
Game 1 of the World Series featured the era's two most dominant pitchers, the game's last 30-game winner, Denny McClain of the Tigers, and the Cardinals hurler, Bob Gibson. Their matchup really reflected the times, didn't it?
Very much so. And I think both of these guys reacted, Scott, in very human, though markedly different ways to what was going on around them. Bob Gibson, the great St. Louis Cardinals staff ace, really didn't get off to the best of starts in 1968. He was overshadowed early on by Don Drysdale's scoreless inning streak. Over in the American League, Catfish Hunter pitched a perfect game. Louis Tiant was off to a great start. You know, it wasn't like Bob was stinking the place up, but he wasn't there in the forefront of great pitching performances early in 68. And as much as he will acknowledge it, King's assassination in April of that year really rocked him. He was a prominent African-American. Here he had the top civil rights leader gunned down in Memphis, so he was off his game a little bit. And then after Bobby Kennedy is shot, unfortunately, 2 months almost to the day at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles after King, somehow Gibson turns things around. He's got a great quote where he says something effective, "When King was shot, I was distraught, sad," something like that. "But when they shot Bobby Kennedy, I became infuriated." And somehow he was able to channel this passion, anger, almost disgust with what was going on around him into one of the most epic pitching performances of all time. He pitches his first shutout of the season in his first start after Kennedy's assassination in June. Goes on to pitch 13 shutouts in the season, an earned run average of 1.12. You know, for baseball fans, I don't think we're ever really going to see that again. And he pitched 28 complete games. And we make a big deal now when somebody has 9 or 10 complete games for a season. Complimented on the other side was Denny McClain. Denny McClain for the Tigers, I think, made a conscious choice, or maybe an unconscious choice. Things are going kind of south, and we're in this tumultuous time. Let's have some fun. And he was, I think, very much as much a celebrity athlete probably we've had since maybe Babe Ruth before, or maybe Dizzy Dean. And he decided, in a sense, he was going to enjoy himself and try to live life to the fullest. One of the great interview answers he gives about mid-season in 68 is somebody asks him, "Denny, what's the real goal here? Is it to win the pennant that eluded the Tigers in 67, you know, finally win it? Is it to win 30 games? He was well on his way to being the first pitcher in decades to win 30 games in a season. And Denny kind of thinks about it and says, "Well, you know, those are kind of important, but I'd really like to be on the Ed Sullivan Show." In essence, you know, he played a Hammond organ. He was an accomplished musician. Along with what's going on with the riots in the streets, you're having, you know, certainly the riots in Chicago, and it's all coupled with what's going on at the baseball game, and oh, here comes the Summer Olympics from Mexico City, too, where Tommy Smith and John Carlos raised their fists in the air after being on the victory stand. And I took some delight, I must admit, Scott, in kind of bringing together what some people, at least at first blush, would go, "Boy, that's a pretty interesting collection of characters." And yet, I think for the most part it worked. And I'll tell you, one of the guys that I reached out a lot to in the closing days of writing Summer of 68 was Tom Hayden, who had grown up in Royal Oak, Michigan, who most people remember as one of the guys who was part of the Chicago Seven at the riots outside the Democratic National Convention, who is the guy who goes on to marry Jane Fonda. But Tom was also a huge baseball fan and grew up playing against many of the guys who went on to play on the Tigers, like Bill Freehan and Jim Northrup and Mickey Stanley. And one of the things I love about baseball is it kind of brings us back in a strange way. And when I first started talking with Tom, I asked him kind of what he was doing and et cetera, and I was expecting some political things, and I knew he was still out in California. He'd been in the state assembly and such out there. And out of the blue, he starts going, yeah, I've gone back to playing baseball. I believe he was 73 now, and I'm playing in a Ponce de Leon league in Santa Monica and coaching high school guys, too. And I was going, there you go. I mean, there's the magic of the game, because it's somehow, after all these years, even if a guy like Tom Hayden can come back to baseball and be playing it, it has to say something about the game.
Tim Wendel, author of Summer of 68, The Season That Changed Baseball and America Forever. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.